two Wisconsin jails have contracts with the federal government to house people who are on immigration holds and face possible deportation. Legal representation is not guaranteed by law, so not all of those detainees have a lawyer. But even for those who are able to get legal assistance, it's not always an easy process for them or their attorneys. Scott Gordon is the associate editor of wiscontext.org. He looked into who's representing those on immigration holds in Wisconsin and what some of the challenges are. You can find his article at wiscontext.org. Scott, good to have you back with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we've talked about this a little before, but let's start out by looking at where in Wisconsin people are being held as they face possible deportation.
Right. So the two main places, at least, that kind of have a formal contract with the government and have sort of a routine system for holding immigration detainees are in Kenosha and in Dodge County, and those are run by their respective county sheriff offices, basically. So they hold a mix of local detainees and people who are being held on behalf of ICE or another federal agency.
And as people are being held, they're going through this legal process, right? And as I understand from your piece, they would be appearing in court in Chicago. Do I have that right?
Yeah. So Wisconsin is under the jurisdiction of the Chicago Federal Immigration Court.
Now, people thinking of a criminal trial that might apply to a citizen in the United States, they think, okay, if you're making your case in court, you either are paying for your own defense attorney. If you can't, as they say, a lawyer will be provided for you. It's different for these immigration cases, right? Why? Why is that?
Well, it's a difficult thing to look at because these are technically civil cases. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe a lot of people don't know that, especially because they're treated so much like criminal cases. You know, at the government's discretion, someone can be detained throughout the whole process. But because they are technically civil cases and not criminal cases, the Supreme Court decision that gave people the right to a government-funded attorney in criminal courts, Gideon v. Wainwright, just doesn't apply. So they have a right to have an attorney in this situation, but they don't have a right to have the government pay for it.
So does it end up happening that some of these people who are challenging their deportation are representing themselves?
Yes, especially most of the people who are detained, people who aren't detained through the process have statistically fared a bit better in terms of the representation they get and the outcomes they get.
Right. So if you are an immigrant, say a Spanish-speaking person trying to represent yourself, that's going to be a tall order in a courtroom, it sounds like.
Right. If you can't afford a lawyer or get a nonprofit to take on your case or get an attorney to take on your case basically at a loss or, you know, get friends and family to pull together some money to hire an attorney, then, yeah, you are representing yourself in federal government and it's you against federal immigration judges and attorneys trying to make your case. And, you know, someone who hasn't had access to an attorney or is dealing with this process for the first time or doesn't speak English very well, you know, might have a hard time, understandably, navigating that and knowing and asserting their rights and, you know, dealing with the process.
And if someone's trying to pay for an attorney out of their pocket, A, these might be people with not a lot of resources. B, as you write this, it sounds really time consuming for the attorneys working with people who are being detained, having to go to Chicago for a day to deal with 5 minutes of courtroom time.
Right. And I mean, obviously, it's no secret in any context that lawyering, representing someone's case is a lot of work. But say you're an attorney in Milwaukee or Madison, you're going to be driving around a lot to get to immigration court in Chicago, to get to also whichever facility the person is being held in, which could be in Kenosha or Dodge County or could be somewhere else around the Midwest, or they could also get moved around the country, which is a whole other issue. But yeah, it is a great deal of work for these folks, and it's expensive. And especially if you're an attorney in private practice, there's no getting around the fact that you have to make money somehow to keep the lights on. So it does put some of these attorneys in kind of a tough position.
You mentioned nonprofit options. What kind of nonprofit, or I guess they call it pro bono legal representation, is there much out there in Wisconsin for people being detained here?
Well, if you put together the sort of nonprofit law centers that focus on immigration specifically. For instance, I spoke with an attorney for the Community Immigration Law Center based here in Madison. There are also folks out of the UW Law School who run an immigration law clinic that provides some free representation, and then put those together with attorneys who are just in private practice and, you know, take on some of these cases, often at a loss. I've been told at least that there's maybe a dozen people who can really take on or willing to take on kind of the cases of detained people in these immigration hearings where, again, where the stakes are very high. Basically the government wants to deport them and they have to try to make some kind of case that they can be allowed to stay in the country, as a recipient of asylum or, you know, under some other kind of condition.
Talking to Scott Gordon from wiscontext.org, he wrote a piece on legal representation for immigrants being detained in Wisconsin, facing potential deportation. All right, Scott, one of these detainees gets an attorney, whether they're paying for it or they're getting a nonprofit help. What kind of hurdles are there for access and contact between the attorney and their client in this kind of case?
Well, for anyone who's detained, there's rules about visiting hours and telephone access and things like that. Attorneys generally have a bit more leeway in when they can come visit somebody, as opposed to someone's family or friends trying to visit them in a jail. So that can make it difficult. And as I hinted at before, someone who is detained in federal custody, ICE can just kind of move them around at their discretion. And sometimes there are good reasons for doing that. Sometimes someone has, a visit scheduled at the consulate of their country of origin and obviously has to go somewhere else if there's not a consulate nearby. But there are, some well-documented cases and patterns of people being kind of shuffled around the country, what looks like rather capriciously. So obviously, if you're trying to keep in touch with the client and they might be getting moved around on short notice, that obviously makes that all the more difficult. And of course, makes it all, not to belittle what the actual person in detention is going through, makes it harder on them.
You asked some of the defense attorneys about how cooperative these Wisconsin facilities were in giving them access. What kind of answers did you get?
Well, just about everyone I talked to has said more or less the same thing, which is that they actually have decent working relationships with the people who run the jails. And again, in the case of the Dodge and Kenosha facilities, these are run by the county governments. They're not operated by the federal government. The federal government gives them, the counties, millions of dollars every year to hold these federal detainees. But their gripe is more of a bigger systemic thing. They're saying, why should we be detaining people at all in what's a civil proceeding, especially if they're people who don't pose a flight risk or don't pose a threat to the community? Why are we allowing them to go through something that, you know, places extra trauma on people who, in many cases, have already been traumatized, dealt with violence, dealt with poverty, dealt with the things that they're trying to find some kind of refuge from.
As we wrap up, Scott, did you get a sense from the defense attorneys who do work with people facing deportation that there's not enough of them, the attorneys, to go around for the cases that need representation?
Yes, I did. And that's absolutely true if you look at the numbers of, just how few, especially detained people in immigration removal proceedings, go through it without representation. And it's, been shown in various studies, which have mostly been admittedly kind of localized to different courts, that someone without representation in these proceedings is way more likely to get deported and way less likely to, find some kind of relief.
We'll leave it there for now. Scott, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Rob.
Scott Gordon is the associate editor of wiscontext.org. He talked to lawyers who represent people held on immigration charges here in Wisconsin. You can find his article at wiscontext.org.